Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Human Services Policy Committee to order. Members, please take your seats. I will note we do have a quorum present. Our first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from our Monday, February 19th meeting. Is there a motion to approve? Chair Noor moves to approve minutes from February 19th, 2024. Any questions or amendments? Hearing none, I will call for all those in favor of approving the minutes as presented. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. Members, our first bill today is going to be House File 3646 from Representative Pinto. This is an informational hearing as we don't have the bill quite yet. We will be having the bill on Monday where we'll just take it up for a vote at this point. This is a codification. We're also going to be doing the same thing a little bit later on with my bill for direct care and treatment. Representative Pinto's bill is for establishing the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. A lot of this work is stuff that we need to have set up in the process, but I also know from the experience I've had with the bill I have, some people will still have questions. We're not looking at anything being changed in these bills coming through, but it also gives the authors and folks an opportunity to know where there might be questions that may need to be addressed going in the future. So that's part of the reason why these are coming through our purviews here so that we can have a look at them. And from here, I know they'll be going over to state government. So at this point in time, I would like to welcome Chair Pinto to the committee, and I would like to, this is just information, so we don't have to move anything. So at this point, I will turn it over to Chair Pinto for your presentation, and I think you'll also have some staff helping you. So any opening comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and I apologize to you and to committee members. There was a sort of a clerical error that caused the bill to not be re-referred. The bill was passed out of the Children and Families Committee last week, and it should have been re-referred to this committee on Monday, and there was a problem in that happening. And so my apologies again to you, Chair, and members, for this process of having the informational hearing now, and I gather the chair is going to bring it back up for a vote at once the bill is in the possession of the committee. And so, members, that also means we've got the slight awkwardness that the bill that was approved in the Children and Families Committee that will be coming to this committee consists of the big packet that you have, House File 3646, as introduced, but also there's an amendment, the A24 amendment, that was put on the bill in Children and Families. So if the bill had come to this committee, and once it comes to this committee, it'll be a first engrossment that will combine those two things. So just to make sure we're clear on that. And members, what the bill is, as the chair said, a recodification of the statutes relating to the new Department of Children, Youth, and Families. So we approved the establishment of that new agency in last spring. Remind you, it pulls from several agencies. And as part of that new law, we directed the revisor's office to prepare a recodification, to prepare the bill right in front of you, 3646, just to move sections around. There should be nothing that is not technical. Everything in here is technical, prepared by the revisor, prepared by nonpartisan staff, very hands-off, just to say that so that we can lay a foundation of statutes so that when we're proposing additional changes to the subject areas within this bill, that there's a foundation of statutes actually to be laid on. So pretty much any question, it'll be revisor and nonpartisan that'll be answering that. And they've requested, I should finally note, that this become law as fast as possible in the session so that then when we're doing anything as a body this year, we'll have solid foundation to make those changes too. Hopefully that's clear to members, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for the chance to present.
Very good. And with that, from my understanding, staff will we be having staff explain the technical portions here? If you could talk, yes, thank you. If I could have Ms. Sutterman talk to the Pinelli, excuse me, I'm sorry. talk to the walkthrough that we've got, the summary of what's moving and where it's moving from.
Mr. Chair, members, as part of member packets, you should have a document titled Department of Children, Youth, and Families Statute Recodification, which includes an executive summary of what this bill is and why it was prepared. And then it's also got a series of tables for each new article that's being created. What the staff decided to do with this recodification was to move the language that was necessary to be moved for the programs that are transferring to the new agency, and put everything into new chapters of statute so that it would all be together for the new agency and be clear what the agency has administrative powers over. And we've organized it sort of thematically. So, for example, there's a chapter that's related to early care and learning. There's another chapter related to the child care assistance program. There's another chapter related to the Minnesota Family Investment Program, just as examples. But this tables that you see have three columns that show the new organization and then where all of the language originated from in current statutes.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Benelli. Appreciate it. So at this point, are there any testifiers that would like to speak on the bill? Hearing none. Are there any questions that people might have on any of the sections that are out there? Chair Noor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just have a quick question. I know we don't have the bill before us. Right. There was an A2 amendment that was introduced. If I think Chair Pinto can just give us a briefing on that A2 amendment.
Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think, I don't know if Chair Noor is referencing the A24 amendment. Chair Fisher and Chair Noor, the A24 amendment was put on in the Children and Families Committee, and the content of that we'll probably have to direct to Ms. Pinelli. I'll just note that because of the nature of the recodification, I suspect we're going to continue, probably, frankly, for years. We're going to be identifying places where there needs to be continue to be tweaks, because that's just the nature of statutes. And so I think these are some places that the revisor's office, working with the agency and working with nonpartisan staff, kind of noticed various errors and tweaks that needed to be made. But again, hopefully Ms. Pinelli can help us just understand what those were, because I'm very deferential to them.
Ms. Pinelli.
Mr. Chair and Representative Noor, my understanding is that the items in the amendment that are being added or changed were things that were brought to our attention by the Department of Human Services and other executive agency staff as items that were technical in nature that needed to be changed in the bill.
Chair Noor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Very good. Next on the list, I have Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Pinto. Great to have you here in a fabulous committee that you wish you were still in.
I know.
But I know this is a big move for us. It's a new agency that we really kind of dove into last year. I think there was really great conversations both ways. I think that, better attention to this is one thing. It's been a while since we've talked about it. But just generally, though, where do you see, and has it been decided on, where will this new agency land from a physical office standpoint? Has that been talked about? I know that I was in a beautiful Anderson building last week with an opioid council, and the building is empty. It's a gorgeous building, and I'm just nervous that we're not going to really have a presence. So tell me where this is going to actually land.
Chair Noor, as Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Representative Baker. And, yeah, good to be with you and be with everybody here. So I will admit I have not been closely tracking that. So there's going to be a report coming from the agency that was due due March 1st. And so we'll be getting a report on kind of all of the moves, because there's the physical move and there's the issue about IT, and there's all kinds of things. And we actually had a multifaceted report, quite a few things that they're supposed to be addressing. I feel like there probably is there's a temporary location that was identified, and I just don't know. I will admit I have not been tracking it closely, because I figured we're going to get that report and have a whole hearing on that. What I want to do is at least make sure that we get the statutory foundation in place, which is the purpose of this bill. But I know that there's a regular report that's coming out, just to updates, I think it's monthly at this point, coming out. And if you're not on that, we should make sure to get you on that, because I suspect that they actually have an answer to your question there, and I just don't remember exactly what it is right now.
Thanks. Representative Baker?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. They probably do have a plan in place. Again, I think as I've been around as long as you have, we're classmates. Mm-hmm. I've just noticed a lot of changes on our campus here. On the whole Capitol Mall area, amazing buildings, growing more than I think some of us agree with what's happening right now, but we've got a lot of space.
Yeah.
And even with the DC&T split off, too, I'm kind of curious where this will all land. And I think as legislators, it'd be nice for us to kind of know what that also looks like, too, besides all this stuff we have to deal with.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of knowing where does the department land? What is the tone of getting folks back in the office a little bit more? Because there's a real power to that. And I know it's not easy, and it's easier said than done, but I'm just saying it's a good chance to kind of rethink of how we do things, because when you start a brand new company or start a brand new thing, you need to, I think, have some different synergies than what you might have in an old, more of a you know, company type thing. So appreciate your efforts, and I look forward to hearing more. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, Chair Pinto, any closing comments on your bill?
Yeah, thank you so much, Chair. And I'll maybe just note to Representative Baker's point that making sure that there's the right culture in place when you're starting a new organization, certainly physical facilities is part of that. So we'll keep an eye on that when we get that report back, and happy to talk with everybody. I know there's a lot of interest in the substance of the agency, and I suspect that there will be bills later in session, meaning a couple weeks, because it's a short session, relating to the substance, and I'm eager to talk to folks in this committee and others about those. I just want to make sure we at least get the statutes in place. That's the focus right at the moment. Appreciate the time to do that. One final note is that the A24 amendment, just to remind folks, actually was already adopted in committee. So when the bill comes before this committee, when it's finally in possession, it will already contain those changes from the A24 as the first engrossment. So with that, thank you so much, Chair, for the time, and I look forward to coming back before the committee to move the bill out.
You're welcome. Thank you, Representative Pinto, and we'll look forward to voting your bill on Monday. And as I'd like to remind the committee, is this will be one of the first things we'll take up on Monday, and I'll just be able to do the vote, seeing we've already had the discussion here, so that we can keep it moving.
Good. Thank you so much, Chair.
You're welcome. Thank you. And with that, I will turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Frederick, and I will be presenting the next bill here.
All right. Thank you, Chair Fisher. As soon as you're situated, we'd like to move your bill and introduce it.
All right. Thank you, Chair Frederick. I move to refer House File 3987 to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee.
Please introduce your bill.
Certainly. Thank you. As I had mentioned earlier as we started the committee, this is the simple codification for setting up the actual department, breaking off direct care and treatment from the Department of Human Services as its own standalone. This is something that it's doing the codification of, is making sure that we're getting the statutes moved into a brand new section that's being established. Once again, this is here. We're not going to be making any changes to this. I do know there will be policy things that may be addressed as we go down the road, but I also want to use this as an example. If you do have questions on any areas, not that we're making any changes now, but so that we have got ideas what we might be working on in the future. I know that some of the things that have been mentioned to me already, some people are very concerned making sure that we're not leaving the kiddos out in the process and that we're focusing on that type of thing. So I want to use this as an opportunity as this is going through, and I know that we'll have Ms. Panelli speak to this a little bit, explaining what's being done here. But if you have any questions, please raise them up, because this is also going to be the start of the discussion of what we do with Department of Corrections and Treatment going forward.
Ms. Pinelli.
Mr. Chair, members, last session, as part of Chair Knorr's finance bill, there was language included that established the Department of Direct Care and Treatment as a separate agency from DHS effective January 1st of 2025. As part of that language, there were two directions that were included. One was a direction to nonpartisan legislative staff to prepare the bill that's in front of you now that moves around the statutes in order to effectively separate off the direct care and treatment division from the Department of Human Services and make it its own standalone agency. The second direction was to the Commissioner of Human Services to prepare legislation for this session to create an executive board for the Department of Direct Care and Treatment and defined the responsibilities, powers, and functions of that executive board. That bill is still forthcoming, so that language is not included here. For the purposes of putting this bill together and making all of the necessary changes to statute to transfer to the new Department of Direct Care and Treatment, all of the duties and authorities that are currently vested in the Commissioner of Human Services, we took a variety of drafting techniques just because of the complexity of what was going on. So in some instances, we've just renumbered sections and moved them. In other places, we're repealing and reenacting statutes, so there might be language in here that looks new but really is not new. We're updating terminology, and we're also making some necessary technical and editorial changes to the current statutes. So that's why you see what looks like a very thick, complicated bill in front of you. The document that's included in your packet that's titled Department of Direct Care and Treatment Crosswalk is similar to the one for the previous bill that's got tables that show the new organization of statutes once everything is moved around and then where everything is coming from in the current statutes.
I think at this point we can open it up to any members of the public who are wishing to testify on the bill. Not seeing any, we can turn it over to member discussion. Representative Keel.
Almost took Jonathan's mic. They're kind of twisted together. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Chair Fisher. So we're looking at this. DCT is not going to lose any employees, correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay, sorry. But currently DHS is sharing staff with all of these, you know, legal, communications, HR, all of these departments. So do we know if we're going to need more FTEs for positions, or what are we looking at there?
Chair Fisher.
That is a very good question. My understanding, I'm looking for a phone in front over here. Here we come. That can help answer that a little bit clearer. Let's let the experts answer that here.
Thank you.
All right, please introduce yourself for the record. Proceed.
Mr. Chair, I'm Doug Berg. I'm fiscal analyst for the House of Representatives. And the bill, in the case of both of these bills, but just focusing on this one, the policy that changed things passed last year. In this case, in Chapter 61, which was Representative Knorr's budget bill, that contained an item of DCT as a new department, which I believe we appropriated about $7.8 million to in 24-25 and a $7.5 in the tails that's ongoing. And that was primarily for new operations staffing and IT staffing at the new department. Now, other than that, I will say DCT is maybe more distinct as an entity at the department than other parts of it are. And so from that standpoint, it's maybe a little easier to separate off than in the case of the children and families thing. But we did consider in last year's bill, in both cases, costs related to this, which include staffing and non-staffing costs. So that's why there's no fiscal note or cost to this bill, because this simply reorganizes the statutes.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Chair Frederick. So we planned for these things already. Do we know where the physicalness of this group? Are we just staying in the same area?
We don't know. I haven't heard that. I don't know if there's anyone in the department that might have more. Oop, I've got a phone friend over here.
Okay, great.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Brios. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Chair and members, my name is Carrie Briones, Legislative Director for Direct Care and Treatment. Representative Keel, I want to clarify your question. Are you asking if we're changing physical locations? Okay. Chair members, we are not. Direct Care and Treatment already has like a central office that is not located in the Department of Human Services buildings. And then our locations, there are approximately 200 that are already spread out across the state. So there's no intention of changing where we're located right now.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Chair Frederick. I appreciate that understanding. So it's kind of like a hub with tentacles all over the state.
Representative, that's a good way to describe it, yes.
Okay. All right, so we're not changing that part of it. Thank you.
I say very helpful tentacles throughout the state. any other questions? Chair Fisher.
First of all, I want to say thank you to the staff, the nonpartisan staff, for all the work that they've done over the last year putting these bills together. This was no easy task. They've spent a lot of their time, and I want to say thank you to each and every one of them that was involved in the process. This is something that, as you've heard, there's been some questions here. There's going to be some policy things that will be coming up in the future, and this is what it's all going to be based on, so it all ties together. So I would ask for your support and renew my motion to refer House File 3987 to State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee.
Chair Fisher moves to refer House File 3987 to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against say nay. Motion prevail, and the bill is referred to State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee.
Thank you, Vice Chair Frederick, for taking care of that part of the meeting. Our final part of our hearing today is going to be House File 3865 from Representative Baker. If you could, I see you're down at the table. If you'd like to move your bill.
I will, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you. I'd like to move House File 3865 to be moved to the Human Services Finance Committee. Nope, I'm sorry.
Health finance.
Thank you. I'm just used to Mr. Nor, you know, Commissioner Moore, Chairman Moore, Nor all the time. So I got to get this one. So actually, the finance of health. So that'll be my request, Mr.
Okay, Chair. Very good. Representative Baker has moved to have House File 3865 re-referred to the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. Would you like to introduce your bill and tell us a little bit about it, please?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm excited to bring this bill. You know, most of you know that I'm kind of a workforce wonk when it comes to trying to make it easier for our providers to do their job better. I've listened to a number of people here, and I've got really two good testifiers today that are going to really tell us the nuts and bolts of what we're doing. But I want to talk a little bit about what ACT is and the ACT community that has been really built up pretty well here. Assertive community treatments is something that we've been using in the state of Minnesota for quite some time. It's a service model provided by community-based mobile mental health treatment teams across, according to a national evidence model that's been done nationally. The ACT team approach is designed to support clients to live independently in the community. Sometimes thought of as a hospital without walls that we've heard before, ACT teams typically include a psychiatrist, mental health professionals, one or more nurses, substance use specialists, supported employment specialists, and others. The ACT teams help persons treat and manage their mental illness and develop their skills that they need for life in the community of their choice. Team members work with individuals in their homes, work settings, or places in the community where additional support might be needed. Our ACT services are planned in close collaboration with each person receiving that service. Those services are customized to fit each person's unique set of needs, strengths, and preferences. If the person wishes, family and friends can be included as well. Individuals typically served by ACT teams often have needs that have not been effectively addressed by traditional, less intensive services. ACT helps shorten the use of inpatient psychiatric care and to prevent inappropriate inpatient care and homelessness. ACT services are an extremely effective model of care and are a very valuable part of what we've been doing here in the state of Minnesota. The bill before you today, members, contains those changes. I'm going to have Ms. Palin come forward and help us walk through the bill, and then we've got a testifier to kind of talk about other sections of this. But again, this is to help clarify some of the confusions we've had about eligibility. It also, part of this bill will remove the requirement for ACT providers to have a contract with the county to provide that needed service, and allow some flexibility in key staffing positions and so on. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will bring it forward. I also want to thank my co-author, Representative Curran, on this. So we're really working on a bipartisan fashion. This is a good kind of model that we should approach, and I think this should be looking forward to some good testimony today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Representative Baker. So the first person I have is Ms. Ginny Palin. If you'd like to come forward, please. Thanks for being here today. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Fisher and committee. Thank you so much. I'm Ginny Palin. I'm with the Minnesota Association of Community Mental Health Programs, and I am going to do just a quick overview of the different sections of the bill. In Section 1, the language is seeking to clarify that individuals who are receiving services through first episode psychosis programs are eligible to also receive assertive community treatment teams care. This is to clarify some eligibility confusion that there has been between these two programs. Section 2 removes the current requirement for ACT providers to have a contract with each county that they provide those services within. This aligns with several changes that we have been making across our mental health services, and it also removes some geographic barriers to clients accessing those services. Section 3 allows for the option of having an ACT team lead be an individual who is otherwise qualified for that role but is not licensed. This is seeking to address providers' challenges in navigating our current workforce shortages, as well as a commitment to more diversely staffing our staff through these services. Section 4 removes current regulatory statutory language dictating that an ACT team program be of a certain size, required staffing ratios and schedules, and instead requires that the ACT providers maintain a passing score according to the most recently issued national tool for measurement of assertive community treatment. So we are really trying to say this is based on a national model of fidelity. We should be scoring these teams and making sure that they are following that national model of fidelity rather than having conflicting sections in our state law. Section 5 aligns the diagnostic assessment renewal schedule for ACT services to be in line with diagnostic assessment renewal schedules with other mental health services that exist within 245I. This is to bring some consistency across our mental health services where it's appropriate. And Section 6 instructs legislative staff to recodify our ACT statute language such that it will live in its own section of law. This is to address some confusion where our current statute is set up with three different services, including ACT, all combined into one section of law. So we're just trying to separate it out so that we can clearly see where ACT is laid out in statute, separate from some other services. And that is the bill. I'm very happy if you have any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Palin. If you want to hang around, if there's any questions, and we'll go to our next testifier, Ms. Ashley Jost. Hi, welcome to the committee. Thanks for taking the time to be here. Please introduce yourself, who you're with, and begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you. I am Ashley Chose. I am the executive director at Woodland Centers, and I'm also the chair of MACMIP. So I'm honored to be here today. Thank you so much. Woodland Centers is a mental health and substance use provider in West Central Minnesota. We actually have two assertive community treatment teams. In 2023, our team served 71 individuals, and we provided over 7,800 direct care services to those individuals through these teams. A little bit more about ACT services. It is an evidence-based treatment that is intended for clients with psychosis and treatment-resistant mood disorders. The primary goal of ACT services is to help people achieve recovery through community treatment, rehabilitation, and support. ACT is multidisciplinary. We have a range of staff on these teams that work together to provide care. And so it's not one person's client. The whole team surrounds that client, provides them the support and care that they need. So just thinking about what does a day in the life of an ACT provider look like. At Woodland Centers, every morning our teams gather and they have their caseload and they walk through every single client on that caseload.
and they team that caseload to say what's changed for that person, what are their needs today, what's their needs going to be tomorrow, are there any health needs that we're not addressing that we need to address, and that helps set up the plan for that week for that caseload to determine what team member is going to go see each individual, how often do we need to see them. Typically our team meets with individuals 3 to 4 times a week. Those meetings with those individuals could be long, meaning it's a therapy session with our therapist, a medication management appointment, or it could be a really quick check-in where our RN is delivering their medication for the day, or we're just driving them to an appointment and doing a quick check-in. So it's a really wide range of services that we deliver to these folks. ACT teams across the state of Minnesota are instrumental in managing the care of our most at-risk and the most high-need individuals with mental illness in our populations and our communities. Additionally, instead of spending because ACT services have severe and persistent mental illness is really no longer a life sentence to our state hospital systems. Our ACT teams have ensured these people can live in our communities and really live full lives. So the current workforce and mental health crisis is creating a lot of work challenges for our ACT teams across Minnesota. Providers are having trouble maintaining the staffing models. And instead of spending a lot of time on direct care, we're having to spend a lot of time complying with prescriptive and conflicting regulations that govern ACT. SAMHSA reports that ACT teams across the nation have an average of 14% turnover in 6 months for these teams across the nation. As turnover in ACT teams across Minnesota is really no different, and it's creating challenges for us in being able to provide the care that's needed. For example, Woodland Centers, with our two teams, we have not been able to keep them fully staffed for the last 2 years. So we are not able to provide the amount of care that we would like to because of the staffing. SAMHSA's report also called Maintaining Fidelity to ACT, Current Issues and Innovations in Implementation, which was published in 2023, provides descriptions of how ACT implementations in rural areas can differ from the fidelity to the national model due to staffing shortages. And this encourages ACT teams to create part-time positions and to hire students who are not licensed or working towards licensure to help meet those requirements on the team. Minnesota's current ACT statutes do not allow us to have the flexibility that SAMHSA is recommending. And so this bill today really allows us to change the legislation so we can have that flexibility so that we can hire some of these team members that we are really needing. So the legislation that is being proposed is really supported by Woodland Centers, by ACT teams across the state, by partners within the Mental Health Legislative Network, and we're really hopeful that this will help us sustain our teams across the state. It's especially true in Greater Minnesota, where we already know there's a shortage of providers, there's a shortage of professionals, and this will really help us in those rural areas as well. So acknowledging the great work that was started by you in the legislature last year to update our ACT program, Woodland Centers really looks forward to continue working with you and the department and all of our community partners in keeping our programs in Minnesota accessible to the communities we serve. So we're hopeful this bill is the next step to our good work together, and we can build a mental health regulatory system that oversees ACT services, but really provides us the flexibility to respond to the changing needs in our communities. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Are there any further testifiers that would like to address the committee? Hearing none, are there any questions for our testifiers or for the author of the bill? Seeing a lot of heads nodding up and down and thumbs up around thumbs here. Representative Baker, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a great bill. I tell you, this is one of the best ways we can deliver mental health around people. It's almost like a DoorDash because we'll go to them. It's like we're getting it in a way that's circled up, they're teamed up. I love what the teams are doing in Woodland Centers, which is central office is out of Wilmer. So I'm really proud of the work that Ms. Jost, Dr. Jost has done and others. So thank you for supporting this. I'm looking forward to having this move along. And I know that we're going to the Health Finance Committee next. I hope this is a kind of a thing that the majority might look at doing some standalone bills because we need to talk more about mental health at the end. Let's do this. Make this a better year for mental health than we've done. So let's keep this not getting gobbled up with a bunch of other stuff. So that's just a recommendation from a little guy in the minority. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate your support.
Well, thank you, Representative Baker, for the presentation. Thank you for bringing the bill forward. With that, Representative Baker renews his motion to refer House File 3865 to the Health and Finance and Policy Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the bill is referred to the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. It will be going to them as a standalone, but if something happens, we still have an underlying bill, so if we have to, we can add it on there. And it's also one of the things we want to make sure that we've got a bill that's not going to have anything that's controversial in it either. So thank you so much for your work. With that, we've moved along very quickly today. We were not sure how long it was going to take for the recodification bills, what discussions may come up or not. So we finished a little bit early, so I want to say thank you, everybody. Our next hearing will be on Monday, February 26th, where we're going to start off taking the recod bill from Chair Pinto. We'll move that on, and then we'll also have several other bills that will be posted at the same time.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Chair Norton.
Request, because I think these are huge bills. If next time we don't have to reprint, because we have both the amendment and I.
Okay. Oh, part of the challenge that staff has mentioned me is this was not the engrossment, so we're going to have to have it posted or reprinted because that will have the amendment incorporated into it. But we could. Okay, I'm hearing some decline, so we'll reduce what we print on for our members then. All right, any other further comments or questions? With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.